Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Well, let's talk about love and romance and dating and marriage. A lot of people have a lot of ideas. Some of those ideas are really crazy, coming from Hollywood and chick flicks. And what does the Bible have to say about it? And can we parse out this complicated thing of men and women, romance, dating, love, and marriage? That's our topic, and you're about to hear a sermon that I preached recently in our church, in which I try to help people get a little bit of insight and understanding into this topic. I promise you're going to laugh. Quite a bit of it is funny. Let's roll the tape.
The Bible says to lift up holy hands. Young ladies, can I tell you, when you're dancing before the Lord, moving your feet is good and moving your hands is good. Moving all this stuff in here, not good. Because movement attracts the eye. So we want you to dance before the Lord, but dance a holy dance. I don't care who you are, that's good preaching. Brother Billy Cole used to say, you praise the Lord any way you want to, as long as what you're doing doesn't make someone else stop. Well, when you stop doing a holy dance and you start doing another kind of dance, it makes people stop. I was looking for a godly girl. So, Sister Murphy, I went over to this church to see about this preacher's wife, material young lady. When I got there, it just so happened that their pastor had been out of town on a vacation. And he was late getting back. And it was a Friday night service, because I didn't skip my own service to go somewhere trying to find a spouse. It was a Friday night. It was an off night. And they had a missionary on a Friday night. A missionary. Now, can you imagine this? A missionary from overseas. That's what missionaries are. They're people ministering overseas. They had a missionary, and the missionary was there at church, and the pastor was not. And I was there at church, and the piano player of their church was not. It was Sister LaDonna Mullins. She was late. She was coming in the car with her mom. They were late. So the missionary looks at the young preacher. It's past time to start. What do you think we ought to do? And the young preacher says to the missionary, if you can lead the service, I can play the piano and we can get this thing started. He says, okay. So I sit down at the piano player's post and he gets up at the pastor's post. And in walks the pastor and the piano player, and their jobs are taken. Now, when she walks in, I don't know she's the piano player. When she walks in, I don't know that she's the preacher's wife material. When she walks in, I don't know that she's LaDonna Mullins. All I know is that when she walks in, God speaks to me and says, you prayed, there she is. She did not know that I was the young man from the church across town. She did not know that I was the young preacher. She thought I was the missionary's son. All she knew is that she walked in and God said, you prayed, and there he is. Her mother was so sensitive to the Holy Ghost that she felt it too. And she began to cry and pray, oh God, don't send my baby overseas. And so we went on an impromptu, unplanned, chaperoned date. Two people who knew God had spoken to them are now on a chaperoned date. We were at Captain D's with the pastor's family, and the pastor's daughter was stealing food off of my plate. It was September 23rd. It was September 23rd. And we said, I do, on December 17 of the same year. Brother Billy Cole did not believe in long engagements. I didn't either. If God has spoken to you, why torment yourself with temptation? Get married. And if you say, I can't get married because I'm not ready, then what are you doing courting? If you're not ready to get married, then courting, dating with a marriage mindset is courting. And if you're not ready to get married, why are you doing it? But I was raised to worldly values, worldly chick flicks, worldly Cupid scenarios, worldly soulmate scenarios, worldly shop till you drop and handle the goods and you got to try it out before you, so you'll know. That's all worldly stuff. Can I tell you that we met, heard from God, got married so fast that we never even had an argument. People couldn't believe that someone could say, I do, to someone that they never even had a misunderstanding with. Our courtship was so short, we didn't even have time to find something we disagreed over. Let me tell you how the world's way works out, okay? Statistics say that people who move in and shack up and fornicate just to handle the goods, just to see if this is really their soulmate, those marriages don't work. Those marriages break apart. Let me tell you how the world's way is. Over half of their marriages that they don't pray to God for and don't get help from God with, over half of their marriages break up. Now, folks, when you mistake infatuation for a signal from fate that you found your true love, and then you realize you've been duped, who are you going to take up your grievance with? Because fate's not something you can pray to anyhow. But let me tell you something. If you pray to God in faith, and God speaks to you that she's the one, and he turns out to be wrong, you can take your grievance up with God. Guess what? He's never been wrong yet. I don't think he's going to start now. So, I'm going to tell you the answer to the $64 billion, kajillion, trillion-dollar question. How do I know if it's my true love? Pray! That's step one. Step one is pray. Step two is listen to God. Don't shop till you drop. Listen to God. Don't handle all the goods and mess yourself up and ruin yourself. Listen to God. Step three, when God speaks, get off your fanny and do something about it. Sister Murphy, the garter flew, and those boys let it hit the ground. They acted like they were scared. And I said out loud, my God, man, are you afraid of success? One of them, who I presume is a church young man, answered me with a retort. based solely in worldly values of anti-marriage. With regard to marriage being portrayed as success, and he's afraid of it, he says to me, "No, I'm pro-life." Excuse me, are you saying that marriage is death? Oh yes, that's what he's saying. Why is a Holy Ghost-filled church young man saying that? Because this world is preaching that message. This world is working to convince these precious minds that marriage is death. Marriage is a ball and chain. I want to tell you that's a lie. Marriage is an institution of God, and it will be the most fulfilling thing that you can do this side of glory. If you pray and ask God for help. Oh yes. Oh yes. If you do it the world's way, it's death on a stick with cheese on it. If you do it the world's way, it can be the most miserable thing. You'll wish you were dead. Can I just tell you, it's so simple. Don't do it the world's way. Do it God's way. All right. Are you ready? I'm in the home stretch. I'm in the home stretch now. We're getting on a camel. She agreed to marry him. She had never seen him. She agreed to marry him. She had never texted him. She agreed to marry him. She had never seen his picture. She agreed to marry him. She had never heard his voice on the phone. She agreed to marry this man with nothing more than the voice of God. The story went something like this. The father, Abraham, was near death. His wife, Sarah, had already died. He wanted a wife to be picked out, a good wife to be picked out for his son, Isaac. He brings his most trusted servant. He brings Eliezer in, and they did something interesting. He asked his servant to take a vow by putting his hand under his thigh. The servant put his hand under Abraham's thigh. And Abraham made him take this vow, that you will find a wife for my son that meets these qualifications. Don't get one of these women from around here with worldly values. Go back to where our people are and get a girl that's got godly values. Don't date people with worldly values. It used to work for us to say, don't date outside the church. That's not good enough anymore, because there's people in the church with worldly values. You say, but how do I know? Find out if their family is teaching their kids. Find out if they have family devotions. Find out what they're teaching in their family devotions. Find out what their pastor's been teaching. Find out what their value system is. Find out what they believe. Not by shacking up with them. Ask people who know. So Eliezer comes to over where the area where the people are that he's supposed to pick from. And on his way, he prays. Now, I'm sure Abraham was praying, and I'm sure Isaac was praying. But it went even further than the boy himself praying and the dad praying. It got to where even the servant sent on the mission was praying. And the servant said, Lord, give me a signal. This is called laying a fleece before the Lord. He said, Lord, when I go up here, let it be that when a girl comes out and says, oh, a traveler, let me give you a drink of water. Let it be that the girl who is the right choice will say, I'll not only draw water for you, I'll draw water for your camels too. What kind of girl is going to offer to draw water for all of these camels? I mean, it was a sign. You ever met one of those types that don't really believe anymore? I mean, they are so far off the track, they don't even believe fat meat's greasy. I met one time in a restaurant, and he tried to tell me this. He said, yeah, that verse in Isaiah about a virgin shall conceive. You know, in the original language, that word can just mean maiden. It just means a maiden will conceive. I said, well, you know, that's funny, because I happen to know the rest of that verse. The rest of that verse says it this way, and God himself shall show you a sign. So, in other words, God said, I'm going to show you a sign. Someone's going to get pregnant. Not much of a sign, is it? No. That word can mean maiden, or it can mean virgin. And when God says, I'm going to show you a sign, a virgin shall conceive. Now, that's a sign. Now, folks, the girl offering to draw water for the camels was a sign. And up walks this girl, the very first one. And she says, oh, I'll draw water for you and for your camels. He said, whose people are you from? Whose daughter are you? She told him, he said, I can't believe it. I prayed and asked God for a sign. I got the sign. She's from the right family. And wow, is she pretty. She's pretty and she's smart and she's godly. And she's from the right family, which means her values will be right. And she fulfilled the sign I asked for. Now it's time for the servant to go for broke. Get the girl for his master. You know what he did? He busted out gold and treasure and said, hey, I was sent on a mission. And I'm showing you this stuff to tell you my master is rich. And she listens. She listens to him tell about the prayer and about the fulfilling of the sign. She listens to him tell about this handsome man. She hears all of this story. And somewhere in the midst of that, God speaks to her. And finally, it comes to where the servant meets the family. He explains to the family. The family's all in favor of it. Everything's great. All until the whole deal about just absolutely making it happen. Then, see, they said with their mouth, we're in favor of this marriage. But when it came to actually letting her leave to go get married, then they started backpedaling and trying to stall it. They said, okay, listen, we know this is of God, but just wait a while. Let's just have a long engagement. Eleazar said, why? Why do you want to hinder this thing? It's of God. Let us go. Let me go. Let me take her to her husband. And so then they said, well, let's let her decide. So they brought her out and they put her on the spot. And they said, will you go with this man? He's wanting to go right away. Short engagement. To somebody you've never met. Are you going to go with this man? She said, I'm going. And she did. And so the Bible says, she and her damsels, that means her women servants, they got on camels. And they rode camels. They rode camels for days. Sometimes she would ride this camel, and sometimes she would ride that camel, and sometimes she would ride this camel. But it didn't matter to her about how rough a camel ride was, because she had in her heart, Eleazar told me he loves God. Eleazar told me how handsome he is. Eleazar told me how rich he is. Eleazar told me about the prayer. This thing is of God. I'm going to meet my true love. I just know it. That's not worldly, folks. That's faith. And so it was that when she got close, she said, Eleazar, who is that gorgeous hunk over there? You be Eleazar.
That's my master.
He said, I told you. Don't act like you don't believe me. I told you he was rich and good looking and godly. Hey, folks. The devil will tell you, you can't have it all. That if they're godly, they got to be ugly. Or if they're godly and pretty, they got to be dirt poor. Hey, you're the one praying for God's help. Tell him what you want. If you don't want somebody ugly as a stump, tell God what you want. Brother Moore, it was love at first sight. Amen. She lit off the camel. Folks, that means she dismounted quickly. It was probably like gymnastics. He looked at her. Wow. She looked at him. Double wow. They were married, and the marriage was a stellar success. Now, did they maybe on some days maybe not see eye to eye? Sure. But folks, can I tell you that when God helps you put your marriage together, He's not going to give you somebody perfect, but He will give you somebody that's willing to stick it out through thick and thin. And somebody that even though they're immature when you meet them, they're on a path of maturity. I have one last thing to say. When you pray, don't just tell God what you want. Because remember, there's another person who's got to be stuck with you. Don't just tell Him what you want. Pray and ask Him to help you become what He wants you to be for somebody else. That means you're not just listening for Him to say, there she is. You're listening for Him to say, if you want her, that ain't gonna do it. You gotta be who she needs if she's gonna be who you need. So if you're praying for somebody who's not damaged goods, then don't be shocked when God says, what are you doing? Making yourself damaged goods. So we had our family devotion. And in our family devotion, I was talking to our kids about this. And Eliana spoke up and she said, when they got married and they kissed at the altar, that was their first kiss. And I said, thank you. And she said, that's what I want. That's what I'm praying for. Here it is, folks. In that story, the servant Eleazar, he's a symbol. He's a symbol. We are on our way to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We are the bride. We're going to marry a groom named the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never laid eyes on Him yet. But that's the church's true love. And Eleazar, he can represent a couple of things. He can represent the Spirit of God that is leading you toward the man Christ Jesus. He can also represent the pastor that's leading the church toward heaven. Can I tell you that it was Eleazar that helped her make it through the desert? And can I tell you that when it comes to making it to heaven, folks, you don't do yourselves any favor by putting the pastor on ignore. You don't do yourselves any favor by deciding that the pastor is not worth listening to. And you certainly don't do yourselves any favors when you don't listen to the Spirit of God. Between the church and the pastor and the Spirit of God, we will get you to the bridegroom if you work with us. If you work with us, we will get you to your true love. Oh, he's rich. He's rich and he's handsome. As a matter of fact, he's not only rich and powerful, he's the creator of the universe. We'll get you to your true love if you just work with us. And so it is that sometimes the preacher says something that steps on your toes, but work with us. We're trying to get you across a desert. And sometimes it is the Spirit of God will pierce your heart and convict you of something. But work with us. We're getting you across the desert. And I know sometimes that pew may feel like you're riding on the camel. But we're on a journey across the desert. And one day, He's going to split the eastern skies. And the trumpet will sound. And the church will be called up yonder. And we will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And we will be in the marriage supper of the Lamb. I want to ask you to stand. Every young person in this building right now, falls into one of two categories. Those who have already started praying for God's help, and those who have not yet prayed for God's help. And everybody who has not prayed for God's help needs to start today, right now, praying for God's help. And everybody who has already been praying for God's help, well, you just need to keep praying for God's help. And so, I know that for people here that are already married, you're either saying, "Thank you, Jesus, I did it just like he said." Or you're saying, "Now I know what I did wrong." And I'm not going to ask for any show of hands. But I have good news for you. Even if you never heard the right way to do it, and even if you think you chose on the wrong criteria and what a mess you're in now, I have good news for you. You can start praying now, and God can help you, and it can become so good that it will be as though you did it the right way. He's just that awesome. See, God is better than the best GPS ever. And every time you take a wrong turn, the GPS just lovingly, patiently says, "Hey, no sweat, recalculating." And if you'll listen and take the turns when you're told to, it will get you back on track. And even if you already said, "I do," the Lord isn't going to kick you into hell because you chose wrong. He just says, "No sweat, recalculating." And if you'll take the turns when he tells you to take the turns. What kind of turns are you talking about, Pastor? Turning into the store to buy some flowers? And a card and some chocolates? Doing the dishes when she didn't even ask you to? The right way? Putting your shoes away and hanging up your suit? Why is your underwear in the middle of the floor again? Recalculating? We're really recalculating. Please pick that up. Recalculating. Yeah. He said, "More chocolate?" He speaks the truth. He does. And folks, the other day when I said, "If you clap your hands three times and say, 'I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you,'" and that was so funny that people clapped their hands, they were not meaning to divorce their spouses. And one of them came to me and said, "Preacher, I was not trying to divorce my wife." And I said, "Well, hey, did you say it while you clapped?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Well, then it ain't the same thing." But here it is. Here it is. How many of you, I told you it's going to be like Fox. I'm going to present it and you decide. How many of you, after hearing what I've presented, have decided that more than ever you're going to pray for God's help? Amen. All right. It's time to start praying now. This altar's open. Let's come. If you want blue eyes, the altar's open. If you want rich and powerful and godly and handsome, the altar's open. Let's pray and ask God for help. Some of you grown-ups, come and help them pray. One of the most important things they could pray about, one of the most important things they can pray about, is for God to help them with finding a godly spouse. Lord Jesus, I pray, help each and every one of these young men to become what they need to be, Lord. Lord, help each and every one of these young men to become what they need to be. Help them to make progress, Lord, in their path of maturity. Help them to develop and grow.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.